Slăvi să fie Domnul! În seara asta vreau să aduc un cuvânt pentru biserică. O să fie din Isaia, capitolul 46. Vă rog cei de la stație să puneți textul în limba română. Eu o să citesc câteva versete. O să trecem prin tot capitolul. O să citesc câteva versete at a time. Le voi citi în engleză, dar o să fie puse în limba română, sus pe ecran. Și vreau să vorbesc despre anul ăsta în care am intrat, despre 2017. Ce fel de așteptări avem din anul ăsta și ce fel de așteptări are Dumnezeu de la noi, basically. So praise God once again. It's such a privilege to be up here before you guys. It's such a privilege to be together and to worship Christ together. I just want to declare that I'm not here performing, right? I don't have a speech ready for you. I'm here. I'm your brother. You guys are my brothers, my sisters, and we get to worship God together, and we get to do church together, to be the church together. That is everything. That is all I want. That is all I need. We get to be the church, the body of Christ together. Somebody brings a prayer. Somebody brings a song. Somebody brings a word, and together. Together we bring glory to God, and it's such a beautiful thing, amen? So tonight, if you want to open up your Bibles, and I do encourage you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 46, I'm just going to go through the whole chapter. I'll read a few verses at a time and just share a few thoughts that God put on my heart. I do want to ask you guys if anybody here's heard of what P90X is. Has anybody heard? Do you guys know what P90X is? Yeah? A few people. Okay. It's an exercise program, and it's pretty intense, and it's one of those things where you order it, and you get some DVDs at home, and you pop them in, and you work out, and I remember a few years ago, many years ago, actually, I saw the infomercial late at night. And I saw these guys going from skinny to buff, or from fat to, you know, ripped. And I was like, yes, I want to look like that. So I was really inspired, and I got on the phone, and I ordered the DVD, but I didn't just order the basic package, because I was really pumped up, you know? I didn't even order the deluxe package. No, that wouldn't have been enough. I ordered the ultimate package, you know? And I didn't have any weights, so I ordered like these rubber bands that you work out with, ordered a bunch of those, ordered a pull-up bar, and then spent a ton of money, way more than I should have, and just waited for the package to get home. And after a few days, it arrives, and I'm super excited. I rip open the box. I put the pull-up bar together. I install it in my door. I get my rubber bands ready. I get my, you know, laptop ready, the DVDs, everything. I pop in the first DVD, just ready to go on my journey from skinny to big and buff and muscular. And halfway through the first DVD, I was like, oh no, I can't do this. And I never touched those DVDs again. In fact, I gave them to Tudor Roman, and he actually made better use of them than I did. But we do that, you know, we do that. We make resolutions, we make decisions, we get amped. And sometimes it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, and in fact we transition from one year into the next carrying a few extra pounds, and unfortunately Naomi's been really good to me, and going from 2016 to 2017 I am carrying about 25 extra pounds, so I'm carrying this is a little burden. You know, my shirts don't fit right anymore. It's hard to tie my shoelaces. It's just life is difficult now because Naomi's been too good. I'm carrying these extra pounds with me, right? And speaking about, you know, carrying these things that burden us, I was reading in Isaiah chapter 46, and the first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, I want to read them for you guys. It says, Bel crouches, Nebo cowers, their idols are consigned to beasts and cattle. The images you carry are loaded as a burden for the weary animal. The gods cower, they crouch together, they are not able to rescue the burden, but they themselves go into captivity. I was reading that passage, and it's such imagery. Bel was the chief deity of the Babylonians. He was the chief god of all the other gods of the Babylonians. Nebo was another god. He was the god of wisdom, another one of the gods that the Babylonians worshipped. And the imagery that Isaiah paints for us in these first two verses is the burden that these gods have for the people that worship them, that they're forced to carry them, that they're forced to carry these heavy weights, these burdens with them. And I was reading this passage, and the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he asked me, what burdens am I carrying from 2016 into 2017, besides these extra 25 pounds? What burdens are you carrying? What burdens are we carrying from the past year into this new year as a church, as families, as individuals? And the imagery in Isaiah is about, you know, a burden, weariness, weakness, an inability to rescue, going into captivity, all these negative things. And again, I was thinking about the year that just passed, and I was struck about how, in a way, how much pain and how much negativity and how much suffering our church even had to go through. It was a difficult year, 2016. I think about the Bohunica family, and I think about the Tarau family, and now the Koshman family, as they lost loved ones, and about the pain that they probably still harbor, that one of their loved ones, a father, a grandfather, a grandparent, somebody dearly loved is now gone. And even this morning, it reinforced that. I don't know if you guys were here at church this morning, but as Dad was relaying the needs and the prayer requests, we had so many announcements of deaths. There was a woman that died at 49 years old, a wife that passed away, 49. I'm assuming there's a husband left behind, maybe children left behind. How difficult it must be for them. And I wanted to ask, you know, what burdens are you carrying into this new year? Maybe it was rough for you. Maybe it was a difficult year. Maybe there's some pain that's leaking into 2017. Maybe there's some guilt. Maybe there's some anxiety. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's this burden that you're carrying with yourself, and it didn't get taken care of in 2016, and you just assume that it's going to be with you. This burden is going to be with you throughout the following year, because, right, what's going to change? And so not only is the question, what burden are you carrying? But the second question is, what are your expectations going forward? What are your expectations as we go into 2017? And I want to read the next couple of verses 3 and 4, if you guys want to put them up, where it says, "Listen to me, house of Jacob." And let me paraphrase there a little bit. "Listen to me, Emmanuel. Listen to me, all the remnant of the Emmanuel Church, who have been sustained from the womb, carried along since birth. I will be the same until your old age, and I will bear you up when you turn gray. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will bear you, and I will save you." Like I said, maybe you're carrying this burden. Maybe it's heavy. Maybe it's weighing you down. And maybe you expect things to continue to be the same. You're looking ahead to this year, and you're thinking, my sickness, my disease is not going to go away. I don't expect that the problem in my family or my financial situation is going to change or get any better. So the question for all of us tonight is, what are our expectations going forward? What are your expectations for your family? What are your expectations for yourself? What are your expectations for our church, for Emmanuel, going forward in 2017. And it's amazing to me because God says, the way he just interrupts in this first verse, and he says, in essence, stop. Just stop. Just stop all of your thinking. Just stop everything that you're doing. He says, there's too much noise. There's too much going on. All that pain, all the regret, all the guilt, all the expectations, all the fear, all the anxiety, all these are voices that are trying to rob your attention so that you cannot listen to the voice of God and what he has to tell you. Because God is going to make an incredible declaration in these two verses over here. He says, stop. Stop listening to the regret. Stop listening to the pain. Stop listening to the fear. Stop listening to the anxiety and listen to what I have to say to you. Amen? And here's what God says. He says, listen. Verse 3. Listen. The first thing that I want to tell you is listen to me. And the first thing that I want to declare to you, Emmanuel Church, is that I'm not fazed when things get difficult. This is what God says. God is not fazed when things become hard. Amen? He says in the first part of the verse, he says, listen to me, house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. Do you feel like a remnant tonight? Do you feel like less than what you once were? Do you feel like you are weaker than you used to be, that you're not at your full strength, at your full potential anymore, that at one point you had high expectations, but now they've come down to earth? Do you feel like a remnant? Do you look around and we see the regular Sunday night attendance, right? We have twice as many people maybe that come to church on Sunday morning, and then here we are Sunday night, and sometimes I feel like a remnant. And I ask, where are my brothers and sisters? Where is the church of God that wants to run to the house of God, fall on their knees and just declare, Lord, we need you. Lord, we have high expectations. Lord, we want you to work through us. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit. Where are they? Where is it? I feel like a remnant. Do you feel like a remnant tonight? Well, God would say, I'm not fazed by difficulties. I'm not fazed by tough situations. I'm not fazed when things get hard. This is the first thing that God wants to declare to you. In fact, he says, I am still the same God. I am still the same God that I always was. I'm the same God that was there when you were blessed, when you were riding high, when you had everything going for you. I'm still the same God, and I'm here with you. Amen? The second thing that he wants to say is that he knows you intimately. God declares to you tonight, he says, I know you intimately. Listen to what these verses say, beginning in verse 3. He says, you have been sustained from the womb, carried since birth. And then in verse 4, he says that I made you. These are the declarations that God says to you tonight. He says, I know you intimately because I sustained you from the womb. When you were absolutely incapable, when you were absolutely helpless in the womb, how much more helpless can you be in the womb? There's nothing that you can do for yourself. When you're a fetus, when you're a baby in your mother's womb, can you defend yourself? Can you protect yourself? Can you work for yourself? Can you provide for yourself? You are absolutely dependent on somebody else, on your mother to feed you, on that umbilical cord to provide you nourishment. And it's, in fact, on God to sustain you. And God says, when you were absolutely helpless in your mother's womb, when you were absolutely helpless in whatever situation you found yourself, maybe right now, even if you see yourself and you say to yourself, I'm helpless, there's nothing that I can do. God says, I was the one who sustained you then. I am the God who will sustain you moving forward. I carried you since birth, through all the ups and downs, through all the good times and all the bad times, God says. I carried you. I carried you. I was there. I gave you the strength. I gave you the power. I gave you the endurance. I gave you the ability. I was there. Carried you since you were born, as you grew, when you went to school, when you got your job, when you met the love of your life, when you got married, when you fell ill and you thought that everything was falling apart, everything was breaking down. I was there and I carried you throughout all those things. And the third thing that he says is that I made you. He says, I made you. I'm the one who put you together. I know Pastor Druhora this morning said, God declares that he even knows the very hairs on our head. He can count them. He knows the cells in your body. He knows you so intimately tonight. Do not fear, he says, as you go into 2017. I know you intimately. I care about you intimately. I love you intimately. This is the Lord's declaration. And not only that, he says, listen to me. Not only am I not fazed when things get difficult, not only do I know you intimately, but there's one more thing. He says, I'm not going anywhere. Did you hear that? God says, I'm not going anywhere. It's not just something that happened a long time ago, but it's something that I will keep on doing for you, Emmanuel. It's something that I will continue to do for you, Colleen. It's something that I will continue to do for the families of this church, amen? These are his promises in verses 3 to 4. He says, I will bear you. And I know that, a certain connotation of bear you is I will carry you. I will lift you up. But I think another connotation is I will bear with you. I will put up with you. I will bear your mistakes. I will bear your foibles. I will bear all the times that you are going to fail. And the thing is, man, ask my wife. Ask my parents. I'm the weakest. I'm the weakest. The smallest things get me down. It's so easy to get me down and for me to just be broken down and sad and upset and I'm very weak in that way. I'm very sensitive. Words, situations. I feel like, you know, I'm very emotional sometimes. Flavio and my dad, not so much, you know. Flavio just seems like a pillar of rock, of granite. You know, there's nothing that phases him. There's nothing that moves him. He has this confidence that he carries with him regardless of what's happening and what's going around. That's not me. That's not me. It seems like I'm weak in that way. And I make mistakes and I see my mistakes and I get down on myself for the mistakes that I make, the sins that I commit. I ask myself, how could God still love me? How could God still put up with me? And this message is for me. This message is very much for me, first of all, as it is for you. God declares that moving forward, as we go into 2017, you know what? I'm going to put up with you. You are going to make mistakes. It's almost inevitable. You are going to fall. But you know what? I'm going to pick you up. When you're down, I am going to pick you up. I will not cast you away. I will not give up on you. I will love you all the same because God is an amazing God and he loves us so intimately tonight. He says, I will bear you. I will bear you. But not only that, I will carry you, he says in verse 4. I will carry you. When you feel like you can't go any further, when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you are at the end of your strength, at the end of your wisdom, at the end of your abilities, at the end of your finances, I will be there. I will pick you up. You will not have to do the walking. You will not have to do the sprinting. You will not have to do the carrying. You don't need to carry those burdens because I will carry you. I will carry whatever burden you feel like you're carrying. You will be in my hands, declares the Lord. And then the last thing that he says, the last promise that he makes is that I will save you. I will save you. I will bear you. I will carry you and I will save you. I will save all of you. I will save every part of you. I will save you in every way, every prayer that you're lifting up to God, whether it's big or whether it's small, there's nothing too minute for our God to not take note of. God knows you and cares about even the smallest problems, the smallest pains, the smallest desires of your heart. God loves you that much. God cares about you that much. God wants to intervene and work with you and move you and bless you and raise you and grow you and mature you that much. The smallest thing, he says, I will save you. I will save every part of you. I will save you physically. I will save you mentally. I will save you spiritually. I will save your family. I will save you financially, everything, materially speaking, whatever it is, whatever need you have. I am your Savior. I can save you. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that? And then these are the promises that God makes. This is his declaration to us, to the church. So the question is not only what are your expectations going forward, but what do you need going forward? What do you need to do? What kind of expectations does maybe God have for us as we move forward? What do we need to do ourselves? And one of the things that we don't need to do is we don't need more happiness resolutions. We don't need more resolutions like the ones that we've made in the past, you know? These idols have failed us. And look in verses 5 through let's look in verses 5 through 7 where it says, "Who will you compare me to or make me equal to?" The Lord is speaking again. "Who will you measure me with so that you should be like, so that we should be like each other? Those who pour out their bags of gold and weigh out silver on scales, they hire a goldsmith and make it into a god. Then they kneel and bow down to it. They lift it up on their shoulders and bear it along. They set it in its place, and there it stands. It does not budge from its place. They cry out to it, but it doesn't answer. It saves no one from his trouble." And this is what God is saying. You don't need more happiness resolutions, as I've titled them. Those gods have failed me and have failed you before, right? Like maybe you think, if I could just get healthy in 2017, I'll be happy. If I could just get that relationship that I've longed for in 2017, I'll be okay. If I could just make that financial project that I've been working on a success, then everything will be good, and I'll be happy, and I could relax, and things will go well for me in 2017. And God says, no. All those gods, the gods of health, the gods of money, the gods of whatever it is, whatever decisions or desires you think you might have wanted or needed, those have failed you in the past. And if those are what you're banking on for 2017, if that's what you're banking on moving forward, they will fail you one more time. That's not what you need. And in fact, what you need is the following. Let's read from verses 8 through to the end of this chapter. He says, "Remember this and be brave. Take it to heart, you transgressors. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do it and I will do all my will. I call a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned it, I will also do it. Listen to me, you hard-hearted, far removed from justice. I am bringing my justice near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not delay. I will put my salvation in Zion, and my splendor in Israel." So here's what you need to do. Here's what I need to do. Here's what our church needs to do as we go into 2017, as we move into this brand new year of new opportunities. First of all, God says that we need to remember. He says in verse 8, "Remember take it to heart, you transgressors. Remember what happened long ago. Remember the things that I've done for you." Of course, I've mentioned it before, but remember what happened 6 years ago in this place when our church was in the deepest and darkest time that I believe that we've ever gone through. People were in pain. People were suffering. People were confused. People were broken and bruised. And in that darkness, in that pain, God came through in such a way, in such a miraculous way. So many lives were changed. So many lives were transformed, not only in this church, but churches around the world. It was incredible to be a part of. I remember many of you, as you were praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit, going around from person to person, laying hands, just being the church, acting out what we're called to be and called to do, praying for people, praying that they would receive healing and people were healed, praying that they would receive the Holy Spirit and they received the Holy Spirit. Remember what God did. Think back to the miraculous ways that God came through for you. You each have a story. It's not just that. You each have a story about the way that God came through for your family, the way that God came through for you individually. In fact, I was thinking of Angelo and his family. I don't know where Angelo... There you are, Angelo. I was thinking of Allison as I was preparing this message. Think about how God came through for you and for your family, for Allison. Think about what would have happened if she would have been in a few cars in front in that accident that just happened. It's incredible how fleeting life is and how you can go from one moment being happy and healthy and wealthy, how you can go from one moment being in a car and driving to go caroling, and the next moment your life on this earth is done. How God came through and to protect Allison and the other people that were in that convoy. On that same night, the Emmanuel Youth, we were in our cars. We were driving around. We could have been in accidents. And the way that God came through for us, he says, the first thing that you need to do as you go forward is remember. Church, think. People, think. Remember the way that God came through for you. Remember the way that he worked miraculously in your life. That is the first thing. But then he says, not only because of the way that God came through, not only because of what he did for you, but also remember because of who he is, God's character. He says that there is no one like me. God declares that emphatically. And I want to ask you, church, do you believe, church, that there is no one like our God? Do you believe that there is no one like Jesus Christ? There is no one, there is no God on this earth, no God in the heavens that compares to our Lord. He is God, he is King, he is Lord, he is healer, he is redeemer, he is everything we need, right? He is everything we need. What more could we need to? What more could we need as we look forward to the new year? God is everything that we need. We know his character. We know that he's a good God. We know that he's a good father. We know that he's a loving savior, a gracious, merciful redeemer. This is our God. This is who he is. We've seen it. We've tasted it. We know it. Remember who our God is. But then he says, not only remember, don't stop there. He says, again, in the beginning of verse 8, remember and be brave. And he's throwing out a challenge to you and to me tonight. He says, the next thing that you need to do is be brave as you look to the future. Be brave as you look to the future. Come out, even if 2016 was a painful year, even if the last year was difficult for you, even if you were disappointed and disillusioned by people, by your circumstances, even by the church itself, God says, don't lock yourself away in a little bubble. Don't lock yourself away and hide out and think that that's the way that things are going to continue to go. He says, be brave. I challenge you, church. I challenge you to be brave. Come out of your bubble. Come out of your shell. Move forward. Dream big. Dream big because God can and God wants to continue to work with us. It's not the end. It's not the end of the road. It's not the end of the line. God says, dream big. Be brave. Be courageous. Move forward. Take that next step. It's not the end. It's not the end of the line. God has so much more in plan for you and for us. Amen. Be brave, but not just because you wish it, not just because you want it, not just because, you know, think happy thoughts and happy thoughts are going to happen. That's not the way the world works. He says, be brave because God is fully in control. Verse 10 says, I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done. He says, I do that. I know the end from the beginning. We humans, we're so sequential. We see history develop 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time. We don't know what the end is going to look like. We don't know what's going to come our way. But God says, I do. I know what's coming down the line. And in Romans 8:28, we have that amazing passage that says, you know what? We know this. This is what we know. That all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for the good. God says, I'm in control. Whatever you think is going on, whatever you think is maybe painful or negative, I can take and work even that into a beautiful, beautiful tapestry. So be brave because God is fully in control. And not only that, be brave because God can still surprise you. God will still surprise you. I believe that in 2017, God will surprise us as a church. I believe in 2017 that God will surprise us as families and as individuals. Look at what he says. He says, I declare the end from the beginning, from long ago, what is not yet done. But in verse 11 says, you know what? I call a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far country. He says, I have unlimited resources. I have unlimited resources. Do you want, do you think that I'm in a box? Do you want to put me in a box, church? Just because you or I might be in a rut doesn't mean that our God is in a rut. Just because you and I might be going through the motions and we feel like maybe, you know, things are the same as they've always been. I come to church, there's 3 songs, there's a 2-minute prayer. Church, God can still surprise us. And I believe that God wants to surprise us. We have not even plumbed the depths or even begun to plumb the depths of the creativity that of God, of the amazing ways that God can show up. He can bring people from far away countries. He can use the unlikely and the people that we least expect. 16-year-olds in our very church right now that maybe you don't give two pennies on. You know, you don't have any sort of expectations for. And God is raising up that guy to be an evangelist and a preacher and a man who will go to the far corners of the world to preach the gospel and bring life to dead nations. God can still surprise his church. And then he says, not only do you need to remember the past, not only do you need to be brave, but also don't harden your heart. It says in verse 12, listen to me, you hard-hearted. And you know what? Again, this spoke to me. This is something else that as I was reading this passage and preparing the message, it really spoke to me. And because I see how I've hardened my heart, and see, pain is something that tends to harden us. It's like calluses, right? If you go to work and you keep lifting heavy loads, at first it hurts, but as a way to protect yourself, your hands or your body develops calluses, and you stop feeling that pain after a while. And I think that's one thing that can happen to us as a church, as Christians, as believers, that we can become calloused, we can become hard-hearted because of pain, because of disappointment, maybe because of disillusionment. I looked at myself and I saw my heart getting hardened for various reasons and for because of various pains. I'll tell you one thing that affected me, and maybe I haven't told a lot of people, but I love family. I love my family. I love you guys as a family. I love my immediate and extended family. It's blood, right? Like it's the one thing that like it stays with you, and I loved coming to church for years and looking out over this church and over the pews and seeing cousins and aunts and uncles and just seeing my family not only be in this church but being active in this church and serving in this church. And it really pained me. Like it pained me to see one cousin after another move out of state, go somewhere else, leave this church. I miss them, and to me that was difficult. It might not seem like something big for you guys, but for me that was a pain, and I saw how the disillusionment of that bled over into just coming to church on a regular service, and you know what? They're not there, and maybe God's not going to be there either, you know? What is your pain? What is your what is that thing that is making you calloused or hard-hearted? God is giving us a warning tonight as we look forward to 2017. Be careful that you don't become hard-hearted. Be careful that you don't let the pains of the past year or maybe past years affect how you see God and what you expect from him, because the last thing that God is challenging us to do is found in verse 5 where he says, I am bringing my justice near. It is not far away. My salvation will not delay. I will put my salvation in Zion, my splendor in Israel. And the last challenge that I believe God has for us tonight is to live with expectation. As we go into 2017, as we go into this brand new year, new opportunities, new challenges, God is challenging us as a church. God is challenging your family. God is challenging you individually. Live with expectation. Don't come to church just expecting that everything will be the same. You know the Cantar en Común. You know the worship songs. You know the Undemnur. You know everything. We're going to be here for 2 hours and then we're going to go. Man, I would love to be here for 7 hours. I would love for God to rock us in such a way that, you know, the doors shut, nobody can get up off their knees, and we just pray and worship and glorify the Lord. That the word as it's preached from this pulpit will transform lives. That sinners who walk into this church will be saved. That sick people people who come into our into the sanctuary will be healed, that people who are hurt, have been hurt by church, have been hurt by parents, have been hurt by loved ones will come, and we will surround them with love and heal them by the love of Christ. Live with expectation, because God has great things that he wants to do with his church. Live with expectation. Live with expectation. Our God is a living God. He has not changed. Who is like our God? There is none. Who can do what our God does? No one can. I believe that the best, the greatest is yet to come for you and for us as a church. I believe that with all my heart. God is not done with us. God has great things that he has planned for us. And he's challenging us tonight to live with expectation of the good and the blessings that God wants to pour out over us. Amen.